Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Shaka Hislop, Kieran Gibbs, and Craig Burley. You're right there, Craig.
The logo's changed, wasn't it?
I know. We've got the big table out for the FA Cup final.
I tell you what, this certainly is. I think we should move here full time. That's it.
Do you think so?
It's a bit of a trick.
I don't mind being so far away from you.
I love being a long distance from you.
I'll have to turn my back on Shaka as well. We're speaking. Of course, the FA Cup final, the priority here today. Let's take you through what happened. Sir Alex Ferguson leading the FA Cup trophy out. Sellout crowd supporting either the red or blue side of Manchester. And what about this? Just 13 seconds into the game, Gundogan would open the scoring.
Well, start well, lads. You know, from a United perspective, Casemiro goes to win the ball. The long ball. Who said long balls were a thing of the past? Goalkeeper launches it forward to Haaland. Casemiro out of position. Lindelof gets pressured by De Bruyne, can't get any purchase on the header, and an absolutely brilliant finish from the man of the match. Oh, that's where we should have been.
Greenwich Village in New York, look at that. What an atmosphere there. And Casemiro here with a strong challenge, Shaq. We were expecting this.
Yeah, you knew it was always going to be hard fought. I think Casemiro very naughty in a kanji here.
He wasn't booked for this.
I don't think so. I think he's really fortunate. It just seemed like the ball was running away from Akanji, and maybe that got into the referee's mind, but that was naughty.
It was pretty much all City until this happened. Penalty.
You got frustrated with this.
This one really annoyed me. I just think the rules really need looking at. You know, there's nothing he can do about it. He has no idea it's coming. And he needs his arms to jump for balance. So it was a strange one for me. But Bruno steps up. Oh. Seen it many times.
Right, cool.
Cool and calm. Lovely little finish.
From 1-0 down after 10, 12 seconds, to being in that position, it was pretty good from United's perspective.
Now, at the other end, City wanted a penalty for this challenge from Fred on De Bruyne.
Yeah, and I think this is right on the edge. I think De Bruyne just steps across. Fred just steps across De Bruyne. Just far enough away to say that he's screening the ball as a place to De Bruyne. That really was a close call, though.
City would start the stronger of the two sides in the second half, and this would prove to be the winning goal, Craig.
Strange one. Rolls down his shin. Now, City have played that corner quite a lot that season when they pop it to the edge of the box, so it shouldn't have been a surprise. Not a clean strike. And Shaq, he
reacted really late, and I get the feeling he's unsighted given his movement, but I didn't see that body in front of him.
Still, United wouldn't go away. Rashford here with a chance over the bar, Kieran.
Yeah, normally Rashford's really good at those. He gets his body over the top of it, but he just slightly leans back right at the end and slices it.
And it looked like Gundogan maybe had got a hat trick. Good save from De Gea to deny Haaland, but Gundogan offside.
Yeah, it was. De Gea does really well. Haaland gets a shot off. No question that Gundogan is offside. And David here keeping his team in the game.
United's best player was actually probably Garnacho, who came on in the second half. Just gave things a little bit more spice, yeah, Craig.
He needed someone to take the ball for a run and start getting the City defenders backtracking, which he did on more than one occasion.
And then this was the best chance, Shaka, for United. McTominay with a couple of opportunities in the end. It just wouldn't fall. The Ten Hag side.
Well, initially, ball just gets away from McTominay and Ortega reacts really well. John Stones back on the line. It comes off the crossbar. Ortega somehow makes it back. Just seeing it up.
Stones, he almost heads the crossbar.
He does. He's very close. He does very close to it. But this one, despite City's dominance, we have this uneasy finish.
Yeah. But in the end, Pep Guardiola's side get over the line to win by 2-1. The agony for the United fans. Is that Liam or Noel Gallagher?
Liam.
And which one? Liam Gallagher in the stands.
They're not twins, you know.
I know they're not twins.
That was Liam.
Manchester City then have won the Premier League and now the FA Cup. Some great scenes of celebration. We saw them celebrating in the Royal Box. And then Pep Guardiola would lead his side down onto the field where once again they lifted the trophy, this time with all of the staff. The blue side of the stadium stayed. Meanwhile, the Manchester United fans heading back up north as Manchester City beat Manchester United in 90 minutes by 2-1 to win the FA Cup. Next weekend, then, it's about doing the treble, which hasn't been done since 1999 by Manchester United. But for now, City can celebrate the domestic double. So just a reminder how things have played out for City this season. They've won the Premier League. Oh, they've gone now to the quarterfinals of the League Cup. That's it. Rubbish. Final of the Champions League. That is next weekend, obviously, in Istanbul. And they've just won the FA Cup. It looks likely, according to the bookies, certainly, that they will do the treble. Let's welcome in, shall we? Ah, oh, former... Oh, wait, we don't have Nadim. Nadim's lost connection. Oh, we've got to speak to Craig then. Hello, Craig.
All right, well, yeah, I'm over here. You know, one of the interesting things about City, and we've talked about... over the years, Guardiola tinkering a little bit, particularly in that Champions League final a couple of years ago, whatever it was, against Chelsea, when Gundogan played as the number six and there was no defensive midfielder. But even in other games where he's chopped and changed around, for quite a while now, and I'm including next week, I think we pretty much know the City team, don't
we? Yeah. Yes, as you say. He would overthink some of those big games.
Barring injuries, we knew this was the team coming in. That'll be the team that started today. Will 99.9% start in Istanbul. He's found his first 11, and that's unfortunate for, you know, Julian Alvarez, for, but in particular for the Phil Fodens, yes, and the Riyad Mahrezes of this world, who have been a staple of this Manchester City side, particularly Riyad Mahrez. What I was saying earlier as well, this guy Akanji that's come in, I mean, we talk about City spending millions and millions and millions and all the big stars. He wasn't one that was in the top of everybody's radar. But City saw a good footballer who was making errors at Dortmund and could come in and be coached by a manager who just set standards. And Akanji again today. And I think it was typified that right at the end of the game, the ball was hoofed forward in injury time and he calmly just headed it back to the goalkeeper. I think that just typified his and City's belief in themselves, and that was one of the differences today. City believe and they know they're a good side.
We've got Nadim now, I'm told, pitch side Wembley. Nadim, it was interesting today because City weren't at their best, but they got it done in the end.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And let's be clear, United weren't at their best either. And I think some of that's symptomatic with the nature of this game itself. You know, cup final at the end of a long season in some conditions with the weather and the tension, you could feel it in the crowd. You could feel it on the field. And I don't know how many people really enjoyed it. Obviously, you've got the enjoyment of the goals. But outside of that, like with minutes left to go, City fans are nervous. United fans are nervous. And that's kind of what you want to see in these sorts of big occasions. But fair play to City. I think you looked at their bench and you could see they've got players who can come on and change it. Whereas for United, they're relying upon a 19-year-old in Garnacho. Weghorst is coming on. It's not really getting them that excited. But I think overall, it feels like the better team won today. And like I say, you know, usually I'm quite fair, but I'm not neutral. Today is a fantastic day, Dan. And when that final whistle went, I went bonkers. So I hold my hands up. I've been unprofessional for the last 20 minutes. But please, just let me have this day. Please.
What happened to your voice? You've been cheering too much, Nadim.
Yeah, this is exactly right. If you ever hear my voice like this, it's because City have probably done something good. I'm absolutely delighted. And it's a sense of relief as well, because if Manchester United would have stopped Man City today, we'd never, from a blue perspective, hear the end of it. And you don't want a team to have that over you. So now, obviously, they go into next week, as in Man United, hoping Inter Milan get it done. But for City, there's an element of pressure that's been lifted now. All the questions about the treble now make more sense. And the players are almost looking forward to that challenge, knowing that, you know, the season doesn't completely capitulate, but they're knowing they're good enough to go there and get it done and create history as a group of players. And to shout out to Mark Ogden as well, who said before the game, the players going to concerts, perhaps it's a bad thing, they've lost sight of the game. Well, I wonder what United players were doing then instead.
Oh, a little dig.
Oh, okay. Well, look, come on, then. Augie's not here to defend himself. I tell you what was interesting as well was, you know, Erling Haaland didn't get his goal on the big occasion, which can happen. But he had a chance at the end, one on one with Rafael Varane, to run at him in a pretty good position, and he showed his unselfish side.
Yeah.
Out to the corner flag. Game management, very professional, not thinking about himself. Oh, I need to get myself a goal, or they'll be talking about me. Was well prepared just to do the dark side of the game, take it in the corner, win a bit of time for your side. And I thought, actually, to be honest, I thought the two centre half played him pretty okay today.
Yeah.
But it was coming from other areas, you know. The boys mentioned it in commentary. De Bruyne just dragging Fred all over the shop. Where does Casemiro go with Gundogan and his movement? And it just, this City side, these players in the front area just give you so much to think about as a player. It is difficult not to get dragged out of position if you're a United midfield.
I said yesterday as well, didn't I? About,
is that when you said United were going to win this game?
You got a feeling this morning, didn't you?
I said yesterday that Haaland just adds that extra dimension, and he showed it in the first 10 seconds. We mentioned that, you know, the Etihad against Arsenal. If you switch off, they can also go direct now.
Yeah.
And that's what they did in the opening seconds of the game. So they're just so hard to stop, and as Craig says, there's just too much to think about.
You know how you said earlier you had a little feeling today about when you woke up this morning, you just had this feeling. You did spend some time with Stevie Nicholl yesterday. I mean, that's hard on anybody, you know. It was like a sleepless night after doing a show with him. You know?
I think Shaka might have put something in.
No, don't blame me for that.
Can we show the second goal, which proved to be the winning goal? Mm. How much will De Gea look back at this and have regrets?
But I haven't seen a definitive angle on it, but given how late...
How about
late,
the one that goes in?
How late he reacted, my initial instinct was, he doesn't see this. But then I've not really seen it from an angle to that clearly he's seen the ball, he's seen it from.
He's a long way off to his left.
But looking at it from this angle, I think he's not a clear view of it, but he knows, he sees where the ball's falling, he sees Gundogan's shape to shoot. And so it really surprised me how late he eventually made that initial move. And by the time he does, the ball took a couple of hops before it got to the goal line. And even then, it just felt a long way away. So it was an odd one that, again, unless he was unsighted, then yes, he has every right to feel disappointed.
He scuffed it. He's basically been beaten by a scuff shot from outside the box.
Yep.
Now, he's had a few of those recently, little blips which had people questioning, you know, contracts and do United need to replace. He's a terrific goalkeeper, and he's made some great saves for United over the years. Lost his form, lost his place with the Spanish team, came back for long periods this season and last season. He's been brilliant, but there's these little sort of moments are creeping in with him. And I think definitely, whilst his manager, I'm sure, will not play the blame game, you can't. If you're a keeper of his quality, you can't get beat with a shinner from outside the box. Effectively, that's what it was.
We got Gundogan. We can just see Gundogan there. And Nathan, we heard him after the game saying, "I don't need these kinds of days to feel appreciated and feel special in this club. I know that is why I've been here for 7 years. Nothing is decided yet. We'll see what will happen. How much would you push City to give him the contract that he wants, Nathan?"
Well, not that they listen to me, but I think the fans and everyone associated with the club would be delighted if they did stay. I think the fact that the captain's stepping up at the end of the season, where the game just have that bit more pressure and more weight to them, I think it says an awful lot. You know, we've had discussions about the nature of that second goal and so on, but that first one, to set the tone as a leader, getting up there to try and get a second ball, you know, he's fantastic. What a servant for the football club he's been. And he started off slowly, he arrived injured. Some of the fans weren't really on board with his style of play, but then for the last 3 years, I think it is, we've led to this point where, even though they have all the leaders in that squad, they chose him to be the captain of the football club, which means so much given like how successful the team has been. So, I don't know, I'd probably say your salary can be put forward to try and get Gundogan to stay. But unfortunately, I can't contribute too much. I'm only freelance.
I get my benefits as well.
But why would you want it? I mean, I suppose there's always reasons. You know, David Silva, after a glittering career, wanted to go back to Spain.
Yes.
Maybe there's an element of he wants to move for family reasons. But, you know, if it's just a few dollars here and there, come on, there can't be many teams that you want to be playing for than this one, particularly the way he's playing.
And he just turns up in these clutch moments, doesn't he, Kieran, it seems?
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how he just shows up just at the right time. I mean, there's other players that do it as well, but in that team, but not like him, not like him. I've always been a fan of his, even when he was at Dortmund. He had struggled with a couple of knee injuries, but, I mean, he is, for me, one of the greatest that the Premier League has seen. I mean, look at this.
This is something you dream of, isn't it? Yeah. FA Cup final, 13 seconds in, you do that.
I mean, he's just got story after story, and look, he just drifts, and he even has to adjust his feet a little bit, but to get the connection and hit it on the outside of your foot, near side, is just spectacular. Oh, it gets better every time I watch it.
I think we saw the naivety defensively of Christian Eriksen there as well, because we've talked about whether Casemiro should have went out to challenge Haaland or not. I don't know if that's something they talked about, potentially from a long ball from a kickoff. But Eriksen pushed on. I was watching it again there, and he pushed on to Rodri.
Right.
That's, and I'm not blaming Christian Eriksen. He's an attacking midfielder per se, rather than a defensive. But that's somebody that's thinking more about the 10, 15 yards in front of him than the 10, 15 yards behind them. And because he pushes on, there is a 15-yard circle around Gundogan with nobody there.
Right.
And so early in the game, I don't mind if... I don't care who picks the ball up on the halfway line. Right? If that ball goes to Haaland and it's nodded back the way, I don't care about them picking it up. But I do care about somebody who's sitting right behind my front line. And I think that was just a bit of naivety or lack of defensive clout from Casemiro, probably, Fred, but certainly Christian Eriksen there. Just got caught making the wrong decision, and boy, they got punished for it.
I don't think United were expecting that long ball at all. Maybe just kind of given how we know City play in general. And then once it does come, the initial focus, as always is when you play against Manchester City, is Erling Haaland, Kevin De Bruyne. And everybody gets drawn. Because the thing is, Gundogan just walks down the middle of the park. He does nothing special. He takes a kickoff and just walks down the park, and nobody gets anywhere close. Nobody runs off of him. Mm. Nobody runs towards him. And he's just allowed to pick the ball up or to produce that kind of a volley. But the other question, I think one of the special aspects of Ilkay Gundogan as a footballer is whenever players are maybe having just a little bit of an off day, he's always the one who steps up.
Right.
I thought today Erling Haaland was half a yard short in a couple of occasions. There were times where he was sliding at the far post and just missed. Or he had an opportunity and it just come off his shin. Whenever that, as much as we talk about Erling Haaland coming up to this game, and then he has that game where he's half a yard short, as much as we talk about Kevin De Bruyne in the build-up to this game, and yes, he had huge impact, but then started to wane a little bit, it's always Gundogan is the player who steps up. We'll talk about everybody else, but when somebody's needed, he's the man who answers that call. And I think that's a quality that I don't know how you explain, how you coach, but you just keep hold of it for as long as you can, given his contractual situation.
Well, he starts back that up in the second half of the
completely,
season.
Completely, yeah.
And he's not alone, and it's not rocket science that all these big players have stepped up. Think about it. Kevin De Bruyne had, a couple of matches where he gave him a rest.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Rest.
Yeah.
Wasn't playing well around the World Cup. Did not have a good World Cup for Belgium. Belgium did not. He was involved in some controversy with the teammates as well about some of his rhetoric. But second half of the season, all these guys, even Kyle Walker, you know, spent a lot of time out the side with young Rico Lewis being in. There was Cancelo at the start of the season as well, was on the side. He's just, whether he stumbled across this 11 as his best one, I don't know. But they're all business end of the season, chasing Arsenal down. Kieran mentioned it. De Bruyne hitting form, the back line hit form. Rodri was looking as good as he ever did. Wasn't brilliant from him today. Gundogan stepped up, and obviously Haaland with the goal. So whether it's through the rotation of the team or the training schedule or whatever, but all these players were primed and looking really sharp at the most important end of the season. And that's why we're seeing and have seen some of City's best performances since the World Cup.
Wow, look at the scenes there as the fans leave Wembley Way. A lot of talk, obviously, about Ortega and the loyalty that Pep shows to him, that he's given that he's played all the FA Cup matches leading up to the final. I suppose his loyalty paid dividends today.
Absolutely. Didn't put a foot wrong. The first goal he's conceded in this competition all season long comes from the penalty spot. That's also credit to Manchester City defensively. But Pep Guardiola can rest comfortable with his decision in that it paid off in lifting the trophy, and that it will continue to pay off in the long run. Well, whatever Ortega decides to do, whether he chooses to stay and continue to play the role that he has. For all that City are trying to do in football, for all that they will continue to try to do, you need to have two good goalkeepers, and they have that, and both of them, I think especially after today, will have a loyalty to Pep Guardiola that's justified.
By the way, Ortega just didn't hoof the ball up the field when he got it.
No,
he took some risks. I mean, Shaq was having the heebie-jeebies over there.
I was
watching him.
I agree.
Those balls he was sliding, he slid a couple of balls through the front line of United into John Stones.
Yeah.
Ain't happening in your day, son, is it?
No, not at all. I mean, not just his passing range, but the confidence of the defenders to put him under pressure with some of the balls back when it was really tight. And you don't often see, given how good Edison is with his feet, you don't often see a defence having that same confidence, that same understanding with two different goalkeepers. I thought credit to him.
Let's get some more reaction pitch side, shall we, at Wembley. Our commentary team, Jim Beglin and John Champion, are still with us. I think John can just about hear me. John, far from a classic, but City won't care.
I'm still on recorded message, Tom.
Yeah, well, there you go. To be fair,
that's the best answer he's ever got. John was a recorded message.
Oh, he could have.
I tell you what, did you see those scenes at Wembley, all those fans leaving?
Oh,
that's the only
horrible feeling.
It's just traffic.
Oh, no, it's
leaving. Somebody's got to figure out something.
You've got to go on the train up to Manchester now. Everyone's miserable if you're a United fan. Everyone's a bit smelly.
Listen, United
fans. It's been a long day.
No, I'm not going to say
that. Don't go to that stereotype.
No, it's, yeah. I mean, I suppose there's two sides of the coin. There I go, I've said it. He always pulls me up for that. Hopefully there's no trouble in the way back up with a few libations with City fans travelling, United fans.
Yeah.
It seems as if it's gone pretty smoothly all day from that standpoint. But yeah, it's not a great trip back up the road when you've been beaten by your biggest rivals. But I think deep down, even the United fans knew today was going to be a bit of a long shot if they were going to win this game. The way City have played recently.
Take us through the 2014 night after you won the FA Cup, Kieran.
Must have been a great one.
Oh, I can't remember that.
Oh,
I can't even remember.
You remember that? He had two beers with him last night, and he said he was feeling a bit ropey. two beers.
Okay.
He's feeling a bit ropey.
Here we go. Let's try again. Jim Begley and John Champion. John, it wasn't a classic FA Cup final, but City won't care.
No, they won't, because they're two-thirds of the way up their own personal stairway to heaven, potentially, with the Champions League final to come in Istanbul against Inter in a week's time. But I wonder, Jim, this final was long in the anticipation. What was the reality? How did it compare?
Well, I think what everybody expected, really. We thought that Manchester City would want to play their usual football, but it was up to Manchester United to go back to what they did in January and reproduce that template to stop them from playing through the lines and sending them sideways a little bit, as they did back then. Didn't quite work out, you know, that way, but I think United were always prepared to go into this game knowing that Manchester City would probably dominate the ball and that they would maybe punctuate it at times with breakaways or with attacks or with threats. They came a little later than they would have liked, really. They got lucky on the penalty, I suppose. But overall, I think it's what everybody anticipated.
We saw the Gallaghers here, of course, famous Oasis song, Don't Look Back in Anger. No cause for Manchester City to do that. But moments of regret, potentially, for Manchester United at how this panned out?
You always will when you lose something like that. But I think for the fans, they saw their side go down fighting. Because I think I mentioned the word chaos, the ball that hit the bar and then Ortega. touched it over. You know, they put Manchester United under fierce, Manchester City, I should say, under fierce pressure. And I really like Garnacho's involvement. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, he made a real difference. He was brazen. He was fearless on that left-hand side. And he certainly was a danger man. But overall, they didn't really have enough to penetrate City.
Now, really difficult to compare eras. You were part of a great Liverpool team back in the 80s. But this Manchester City team, what are we looking at the moment? Where do we rank them?
They're going very, very high. I mean, I think that Pep Guardiola must be in the territory now where he's about to claim that this is probably the best he's managed to produce at Manchester City.
Yes.
And if that's the case, then that's you know, as good as it'll ever come, I think, for this club. So if they top it off, of course, next Saturday in Istanbul, I think he'll be saying that.
Yeah, and will they, in your estimation?
Yeah, I think they'll beat Inter.
OK. Well, it's been great fun pitch side. I hope the atmosphere came across at home. But it is Manchester City who complete the second leg of a possible treble. The Manchester United roadblock never quite materialised. So it's Manchester City's day here at Wembley.
Thank you very much. John, stay with me for one moment, because as you mentioned, of course, Jim played in that great Liverpool side in the 80s, as did a certain Stevie Nicol. Now, you can ask, this is dangerous. We're always dangerous to ask, but you're asking it, so I can't get into trouble. When he thinks of Steve Nicol, what does Jim think?
OK, question here from the studio where your former teammate Steve Nicol is sitting, so I'm warning you that before I ask you this question. When you think of Steve Nicol, what do you think?
Coke and crisps.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, guys. Stevie will be watching Coke at home, eating Coke and crisps, I can tell you that. Or mincemeat of some sort. Much appreciated, guys. Haaland, De Bruyne, Stevie and Shepherd's Pie, Shaka and Naps, all great teammates. But what's the perfect teammate for growing your business? Well, that's Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify makes it easy for you to show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style with gorgeous, flexible templates and powerful tools. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/FC. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/FC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/FC.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Overall, looking at it now going forward, how would you, if you were Pep, treat this week?
Oh, party.
Just party all week. Roll up to Istanbul, no, fish bash boss.
Yeah, roll up. I think you saw with his emotion what it meant to him as well. I mean, he's, off the top of my head, domestically, I don't know how many he's won since he's been in England, but it's a lot. But yet, this one seemed to mean even more. I know it was the Manchester Derby, it's huge, it could be a treble. But I think the emotion we saw in him that transpired to his players will probably mean they're going to enjoy tonight.
Right.
You can't, I don't think you can deny the players enjoy tonight. But I think, I'm guessing Monday morning, when they've had a bit of rest and a bit of sleep, it's back to work. And it's just gearing up slowly
to this huge game. There's no, I mean, I don't think any of that. It didn't look as if there was many injuries. De Bruyne went off, he just looked a bit tired.
Rodri looked a bit tired.
Yeah, I think it was just the pitch. I mean, it was a hot day in London for that part of the world. He's got no real decisions to make about his team. He's got no real worries. His team are defending well. The guys all look fit. They're playing well. It's just about keeping them going this week and preparing mentally for this game and what potentially lies ahead in terms of historically if they can beat Inter on Saturday.
In theory, was this the hardest hurdle in comparison to the Inter game?
The only reason I wouldn't say that is because the Champions League's kind of felt like a bit of a dark cloud over Pep over the last few years, and so mentally I think that it might be trickier than it seems. But in terms of, you know, a Manchester derby and the first one in history, you can't argue with that. That he'll be over the moon with this. He's going to have to let the boys go and celebrate tonight. I'm sorry. And then he'll probably give Jack Grealish the captain's armband for that.
For the night out.
Yeah, just for the night out. And then they'll rest on tomorrow, and he'll get the boys prepared for next week.
Which of your Arsenal boys had the captain's armband when it came to a night out?
Jack Wilshere.
Oh, Jack Wilshere.
Yeah.
Said that quick.
The only one.
He doesn't want to be like Rafa Benitez, put it that way, where when they come back in that great Milan, the final actually, was it in Istanbul?
Yes, it was.
Against Milan, 3-0 down. Instead of celebrating, he got the players in to give them a rollicking about why they were 3-0 down in the first place.
Yeah.
So, I mean, come on. This is about enjoying it.
And I suppose it's just keeping everything quite normal, Shaq.
As normal as can be. You've got to celebrate what you've already accomplished. I think the boys have done a good job in explaining that. And then you've got to refocus.
Well, I mean, we could have went further. I could have taken it a space further.
I'm happy with exactly where you took it. But then the focus becomes on shifting attentions to Inter Milan, to a very different threat that Manchester United pose. So you try to come back down to earth and then get your legs back in order, get massages, whatever treatment you need, because right now, the biggest issue is just getting everybody back to 100% to start focusing on Inter Milan.
But what they got today is arguably what they might get on Saturday in terms of, I mean, Inter are not going to come out and take them on.
Sure.
Like, toe-to-toe. I very much doubt that. They're probably going to have two up. People were talking about Lukaku and Martinez. I think it'll be Dzeko. I think he's a much more clever player and he'll give City some more problems to think about. But the rest of them, they'll just hunker in. They'll just hunker in this Inter side with the three at the back, and they'll get the five in front, and they'll leave the two up. Maybe one of them will drop a bit deeper, and they'll say to City, the same as what United did, break us down.
Yeah.
And the chances of Inter being so slack in the first 10 seconds and the first minute or two of the game in Istanbul are going to be slim. They're going to, because they'll have watched that. Say, look, City, you know, it's not all about football. They'll go long sometimes. They'll play on the second balls, on the scraps, watch the runners. So that was a good chance for them to do the homework on this City side, and how Man United, almost without playing great, took this game to extra time.
And for United, looking at what we saw in the starting 11 and the lack of depth in their squad, obviously it's going to be a busy summer for them. What's their problem? Oh, wait, I think actually, before I ask my boring question, let's go to Alexis, who's now with İlkay Gündoğan.
İlkay, congratulations. FA Cup final winner. You've got the double already. We know the Champions League is just over, but two amazing goals from you. I mean, what were you feeling today? Were you feeling a little special when you woke up this morning?
Not really, to be honest. I mean, it's just preparing yourself as good as possible, you know, for the next challenge. And we knew that we have a big final now coming up, you know, first of two. And obviously, with having it here at Wembley is always special. On top of that, playing against your biggest rival, you know, in a derby, I think it's very, very special for our supporters, for our fans. So we were pretty much looking forward to it. And I think we've enjoyed it from the start. I think we played a really good first half, even though we knew at halftime that we could have done better. And I think that's exactly what we have done. We played really well, find the right spaces, scored, thankfully, one goal, didn't concede. And that won us the game at the end.
What's the game plan now? Are you able to relax and switch off a little bit? I know you did. Or is it just straight into Champions League mode? And how much does this help?
To be honest, it's always so difficult to say if that result is going to help you or not. I think it's always what you make out of it, you know. For me, the only aim is now to recover as good as possible. We have a couple of days off, but I'm sure that everyone will try to take care of his body, of his mental condition as good as possible. So when we start our training at next week, that everyone is fresh and everyone is ready to go. And then it's about training well and trying to prepare maybe the biggest final that that we have ever played.
As you said, the biggest final that you've ever played, that Champions League final against Inter. I mean, you could win the treble, something only Man United has done. If you do win it, what would that just mean to you? And do you think this City team probably will put you up there as the best team that's ever played?
To be honest, I don't like to talk about things that are not real right now. Today, I just thought about that final today. I didn't think about what's going to happen next week, about a treble or whatever. I know that a lot of people like to talk about it, you know, and to see if we are going to be able to do it, maybe even fans, whatever. And of course, we read stuff, we see stuff. But I think what we have done in the last few months, you know, also in the Premier League, taking game by game, and always just aim to win the next game, I think that's really the secret. And it's exactly what happened today. We were just focused on the game today. And now we know that there's one more game left and then the season is over, you know. And that's the focus right now. So obviously we play all the finals to win them. We know that if we are in the right condition, if we are confident, if we play the way we've played in the last few weeks and months, then we know that our chances will be good.
Okay, congratulations again on all the best in the Champions League.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Very calm, collected.
Is it just me? He doesn't sound like a man that's going to have 10 pints tonight.
The majority of the show has been discussing how you're going to celebrate.
It's just you.
This is maybe the modern psyche. And we were talking about you have to celebrate and enjoy these moments. And I think they will. That was very corporate speak.
Yes.
You know, it's about recovery and mentality. And
plus, he's one of the more mature members of the side.
I've got visions of the sports scientists at Man City running around the bars trying to pull the shutters down. The biggest nightmare in the world for them, seeing their players drinking and enjoying themselves. But come on, now, he was very, I don't know, very straight-laced there. I mean, he's a terrific player. What they do tonight, I'm just intrigued now what they're doing tonight. I don't care. I need to know how the modern-day players celebrate big wins like this. I need to know.
Karen, you're a modern-day player. But you haven't won anything for a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, I don't even know if you can call that the modern day. I feel like the game's changed so much since then. But you got to let
Can you assure Craig that the celebrations will be happening?
Can I assure him? Can I assure
Craig? You think they'll be celebrating tonight?
Of course they'll be celebrating.
There you go.
Of course. I mean, celebrating doesn't mean you're going to have to go and have 10 pints, Craig, though, you know?
12?
All right, let's go. Nadim is with Mark Ogden now at pitch side. I don't know if Mark can hear me, Nadim, but looking at it overall, why don't they just give Gundogan a new contract?
Well, City wants to give him a new contract. There's a contract on the table. I think he wants to open his mind to a different offer. I think Barcelona are interested. They've been keen for a while. And I think he's had 7 years at City now. Maybe, I mean, if they win the Champions League, he'll have done everything. So maybe he wants a different life experience, different challenge. I mean, look, if Barcelona are offering the chance to play for them in the last 2 or 3 years of your career, you take it. So, you know, what else can he do at Man City apart from win the Champions League?
And on the other thing that we've been talking about, Nadim.
If you want a player to sign a new contract, you don't take them to an Elton John concert, do you?
Nice, Elton John. Nadim, can you just assure Craig that the players will be celebrating tonight?
One thing about Man City from the outside you don't really see is like they do like to party. You know, that's been very much within their DNA since the takeover. So there's a very, very good chance that there will be a captain, as Kieran's been saying. In fact, there might be a few captains tonight. But then, you know, in a few days' time, they'll get ready for the next match. But yeah, this night will not be spent with them stretching or anything like that, trust me.
Nadim, very excited, obviously, Mark. From the red side of Manchester, how disappointed will he be today, going to work on Monday, and then seeing them maybe do the treble next weekend?
I think today was a bit of a reality check for Man United fans, even if they probably knew it anyway, that they're still a long way behind Man City. I thought today's tactics were hit and hope, really. I mean, obviously, if you go behind after 12 seconds, it's really hard to have any plan, but I just felt that you never really got a sense United had a control of the game, that they were, you know, on top of City. And I think we spoke about the bench before the game. There's not really any strength there. And I think if you're relying on Weghorst in the last 10 minutes to win you out or to get you back into a cup final, it shows you how far away they are. The goalkeeper is always an issue. I think, you know, it rolled off Gundogan's shin, bounced twice and went in. So for me, we're always talking about David De Gea, and he's out of contract as well, and it looks like they're going to give him a new deal. There's a deal on the table. So why is that? And I think a lot of United fans are asking, are they now going back to the situation of just giving out contracts because it's the easier thing to do? They gave Diogo Dalo a five-year deal last week. I mean, I don't want to give him a five-year deal, give him a three-year deal. So De Gea is the same sort of thing. It's like, well, let's keep De Gea for a year. It's a bit cheaper than getting a world-class goalkeeper, a commanding goalkeeper. You know, and I fear that might be the same with the forwards. I heard you guys saying they'll spend a bit of money this summer. Well, will they spend a bit of money? They have got FFP situations going on. They can't spend a lot of money because of the lack of, you know, prize money coming in the last couple of years. The commercial revenue has gone down. They spent over the budget last summer. So I've been told it's around about £100 to £120 million they can spend. Now, that's with the Glazers in charge. If they get new owners, well, by the time they arrive, it's going to be start of the season anyway now. So I don't think, if I was a United fan, I wouldn't be expecting lots of money to be spent this summer. And that is a big worry because they'll be doing it on the cheap again.
You say if you were a United fan, yeah? If.
If I was a United fan,
if
yeah.
He was a United if fan. If you were to replace De Gea, who would you replace him with?
Well, I'd employ the scouting department to find a goalkeeper who can pass the ball with his feet, who can come off his six-yard box and give the defender some confidence. I think De Gea, for me, is an outdated goalkeeper. I think you look at Ederson, you look at Alisson, you look at Ortega today, very comfortable with the ball at the feet. They're not the sort of player goalkeepers that let them in from 20 yards. So, you know, there are keepers out there. United have to find them.
I don't want to be that guy, but since we're doing this show, how would you grade United's season?
How would I grade United's season? I would grade it as a... I get it as a C, on the basis that it was a much better season than last year. They've won a trophy, but they're still a long way behind. And I think you start next season, there's no guarantee they'll be top four. Liverpool will be better. Chelsea should be better. Arsenal are there, Newcastle. So I think United have got a lot of work to do. I think Ten Hag has done an amazing job with what he's got at his disposal.
If you're getting beat by a shinner from outside the box, it's not filling anybody full of confidence. Look, I don't know how much they've got, as Mark said, to spend, and clearly they need a front man. But they need to bolster that midfield. They absolutely need to. You look at Arsenal this year, and you look at City.
Mason Mount, obviously, has been linked. Does that work for you?
Well, he's not a central midfielder.
Right.
He's an in-betweener, right? But if you look at the sides that have performed best, certainly in England this year, right? The team, one of the teams I love to talk about, as you know, Brighton. Mm-hmm. Where have they been strong? McAllister, Caicedo. They've been strong all over, but in that engine room, strong. Arsenal this year, for long periods until it went a bit flat for them at the end. Xhaka, Partey, Odegaard, with Jorginho coming in. They tried to buy Caicedo. Let's talk about Declan Rice. For Arsenal, for United, these are the kind of players that if Man United don't get, as well as a front man, they will not compete. Yep. And I say compete, they're competing for the cups. They will not compete over 38 games. Casemiro needs help in there. Eriksen's a tidy player, fine player, but his career is in the twilight. Mm-hmm. Fred's a grafter. McTominay's a squad player. They need to bolster these areas of the side if they're going to compete with these other teams who are all very strong in that area. Not that it's the only important area of a side, but you just need to look through all the teams, and the engine room is quality. Apart from Casemiro, you wouldn't call United's midfield quality.
To that point, though, and I think Mark brings up a very good point. If Manchester United only, I say only, 100 to 120 million to bolster that squad, they've been linked with Harry Kane and Victor Osimhen as a striker. a striker is an absolute must get this summer. But already, even came with a year left in his contract, you're talking 60 or 70 million. Mm. If you go after Victor Osimhen, and I know he's already said that he's staying at Napoli, but you're talking upwards of that 70 million mark. If you're looking at Mason Mount, even with a year on his contract, you are talking 40 to 50. So you, two players.
Yeah.
At best, you might get a third in the door. At best, with the transfer budget that they have. And again, and I know they had a couple of injuries in Martial and Anthony, but you look at that starting 11, you look at that bench, three players isn't going to fix an awful lot. And I say that recognizing fully that Manchester United finished third, that they did have an outstanding season, so maybe they don't have to do the work of others. But still, it doesn't. I don't think it closes the gap significantly. Let alone we've started to talk about bringing in a goalkeeper as well. I'm not sure how they get all the business done that they need to get done.
Well, Mason Mount, I think he's a very good player, but I would imagine United fans are not super excited about this. I mean, where else in England is Mason Mount going to go and play out of the top teams? He's not going to go and play at City. He's not going to go and walk into the Arsenal team. He probably wouldn't get in the Liverpool team either, even though they've had a pretty ropey season.
I think he gets in the Liverpool team. I think the reason why he likes Mount is because when you look at Mount, when Chelsea were right at it, the problem that United have at the moment is their control of games and the way they press. And I think Ten Hag knows how he wants to press, and I think he sees Mount as a piece of that puzzle. With his energy. Because that's when Chelsea won the Champions League, if you watch Mount that season, the way he pressed, the way he was the trigger. He was the first piece of the Chelsea puzzle, and I think that Ten Hag likes him for that reason, and I think other top teams in the league will like Mount for that reason. But I don't think he is the only answer for the midfield of United.
So if Mason Mount comes in and plays as like a 10 or somebody that's float, what do you do with... You've got Eriksen, who plays a little deeper, right? You've got Bruno Fernandes. Is he now playing wide if Mount comes in? Where's the pieces of the jigsaw?
We've got all summer to talk about that.
Well, I'm not here all summer.
Well, good.
It's been decided.
Oh, what a relief for us. Well, that's good news.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Let's focus back on Manchester City. Of course, they've done the domestic double now. The only second time they have done that in their history. Of course, they did it back in the 2018-2019 season. There were discussions then, weren't there, Mark, as if this Manchester City side was the best that we've ever seen. Inevitably, if they go on and win in Istanbul this weekend, that will lead the conversation once again. Where do you stand on it?
Well, I think I said before that you can't separate treble winners, and I think if City win the treble, then you have to put them alongside the Man United team of 1999. But they're different. I think in 99, the United treble winners were a formidable team in terms of their mentality, but they won a lot of games by narrow margins. They just won games by force of personality. The Champions League final, the Arsenal semi-final, 2-1. With this team, with the City team, they hammer teams. I mean, Liverpool, they put 4 past, Arsenal 4 past, Real Madrid 4. I mean, United today got away with 2, but I think City just control and dominate teams a lot more than United team is. But I think it's difficult to separate great teams because different eras, different challenges. But I think if they win the treble, they are on a par with the great Man United team. But I think it'd be unfair to both, to either, to say one's better than the other.
Yeah, I think what I would say as well is they do have that personality. You know, when you look at that Man United side, the way that we're able to will themselves to a victory, there's certain elements of Man City's identity which falls in line with that. Like, they could beat a team 6-0 and have 1,000 passes. But when their back's against the wall, you look at their back line, you've got Kyle Walker, you've got Ruben Dias, John Stones, Akanji Ake, you've got Rodri in midfield, you've got Haaland up front, De Bruyne, Gundogan. These are tough players. You know, some of the idea about tippy-tappy football and this, that and the other, they have the element where they can, as I say, pass you to death. But if they need to put in a tackle, they put in a tackle. Even the little guy like Bernardo Silva, he'll chop you down. And I think that's something that puts them in this position, because if they didn't have it, I don't think they'd be here.
I mean, could you argue that United had greater teams to overcome? They had that great Arsenal team, they had a great Juventus team in the Champions League. What have City overcome to be? I'm kind of like clutching straws here, but I think maybe City's rivals aren't as strong as United's were.
I think you could possibly say that, but what I would counter that with was, I remember the feeling I had and lots of other people had when that draw was made for the quarterfinals and semi-finals of the Champions League, and it was a second leg away at the Allianz Arena and a game against Real Madrid in the semi-finals. And given City's history, there were a few alarm bells and red flags that could exist in there, even though they were playing well. So if they managed to overcome those two opponents and then put themselves in a position where, you know, their one win against Inter Milan away from essentially winning the Champions League, it's a great journey. And for the City fans, like, you've mentioned it so many times, and I think it's spot on. Even though City are great, a lot of the people still have a smaller mentality about it, City fans, myself included. And the biggest game that City have had at that new stadium was the second leg against Real Madrid. But for Real Madrid, it was just the second leg of the Champions League. And I think that makes a difference when they sort of go through to these next stages.
I think it makes a difference against Inter in the final. I think Inter, for me, they don't play against many Italian teams, City. They won't face that mentality, that Italian mentality, just playing to get a result. Yeah. Inter won't care about playing to entertain. Play to get a result. And they've got a lot of experienced players. They've got a stronger midfield than United. And if City go there thinking the hard work's been done today,
let's stop at you. You're better than that. You're better than that.
But we know that Pep Guardiola has his moments in big games, or whether
he overthinks it. He's trying to manifest this. I'm not here for it. And I think what I would say as well, the difference between, say, playing Man United and Inter Milan, is that City know what it's like to play against United. They know that energy. They know it's like a familiar adversary. You know the consequence should you not win. But for playing against Inter Milan, that feels like an actual Champions League game, in a manner where this is an exception, this game itself. Yeah. And you can approach it in a manner where, as I say, you set up and you do the best that you can without having that history to sort of go along with it.
Are you two going to travel back together, bickering like an old married couple?
It sounds of it not.
We're not allowed to, because it's got a Man United service station and a Man City service station. So if I went to the City one, I don't think I'd get out alive.
Thank you very much, guys. Much appreciated. Let's get some reaction now from the bosses, shall we? Here's what Ten Hag and first Pep Guardiola had to say after the game.
Pep, you've had some wonderful days in your career, but where do you place this one?
A special one. So, FA final against United. And especially with how we perform, that was excellent. And big credit to the players. Have a fantastic group of guys.
What pleased you in particular today?
Everything. In the bad moments, we stick together. In the last minute, we had to defend. We defend well. It's so difficult to play against, because they are, Eric install a culture of duels and be aggressive. It's not easy, but we were patient. And at the end, we were the better team.
İlkay Gundogan was your first signing for Manchester City. He's done okay.
We had a good view. Cheeky again. Did a good job.
What does he have, particularly on big occasions, İlkay?
Listen, to be in a big club, you have to have players like handle the pressure, like this kind of game is like a friendly game. When you have a lot of these players and the important games, they is when they are more calm, you are becoming a, a top team.
But what about the quality? Especially for the first goal.
Yeah, the quality is there, but the difference is here.
In what sense?
The mentality. What I said to you.
Can you persuade him to sign a new contract?
I hope so.
Something that hopefully can be worked on.
Yeah.
What's special about this team, Pep? What is it that this team has? Because you've seen the evolution of John Stones, there's physicality in this team as well. What has it developed?
Cheeky every year. Give me a better team. They behave. They are real friends, and they're humble enough to accept that every team can beat us and do our best to win. And still they are starving. They're hungry, and we go.
So now, how do you sum up the position? That trouble word now, you can mention it.
Yeah, now is the first time I can talk about the trouble. It's the first time we can, because it's one game away, to do it, but it's not about the trouble, it's about winning the Champions League. So we know that. So everything will not be complete if we don't win the Champions League. So we have to do it.
Now to make some history, more history.
Yeah, we'll do it.
He's loving it.
That answers your question from one of the shows we did before the game, about, you know, 20 minutes before a game like this, you said you'd be...
Yeah, be a wreck. You're nervous, you're thinking of everything that's at stake.
Listening to Guardiola, they are talking about the elite players, is for them, they just switch off.
Right.
I don't mean that. They switch off from all the hullabaloo and shenanigans around them and the crowd and the pressure. He called it, it's like a friendly to them. That's their mentality. I wouldn't quite go that far. But the better players just absorb that pressure and deal with it. Because if you can't deal with pressure and the nerves get to you, it is definitely going to affect your performance.
Some people criticise Pep Guardiola. You know, you just go into the big teams, you can spend as much money as you want. But like we were saying before, Akanji is a great example of a player, of a long line of examples that get better under Pep Guardiola.
Yeah, and when you've got the best manager, it becomes money well spent, because you know that when you're stepping into his team, that you have to perform. And you know he's going to come up with little tricks of the trade to improve the team. When one's not performing, the way he manages his squad is just, you know, it's on another level. I don't think we've seen anything like that from a manager. And I think that, yeah, again, that's what separates him from the rest.
You know, I don't get that criticism. On the one hand, I want to say yes, I understand people trying to make that point. But good teams spend money. So Alex Ferguson spent money as manager of Manchester United, more than anybody else. Manchester United had more money than anybody else and spent more money than anybody else. The difference is the game has just moved on to, memory says when Newcastle signed Alan Shearer, that was a world record transfer fee, £15 million. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about 200 odd million as being the record paid for Neymar a few years ago. So it feels as though Pep is spending so much money than anybody else, when the truth is, good managers have spent more than other clubs, and it's not affected their legacy. I hope nobody talks about Sir Alex Ferguson as a manager who just outspent to get Manchester United where they are. I really hope that doesn't tarnish his legacy in any way. Let's remember those managers for the teams they put together, how they found balance, and how they were able to get success.
It's utter nonsense. When Guardiola leaves City, and he will at some point, they'll still go and spend money, but there's absolutely no guarantee they'll still play in the manner in which they might be successful. But I'll guarantee you they won't play the type of football that's been played now. That's coached, right? And actually, the team they played today, and Shaka mentioned back in Sir Alex's day, but this last 5 or 6 years, they've spent a fortune.
Yeah.
Look at the two wingers. I keep talking about them. You know, Grealish was an expensive player, but he's playing great now. You've got Sancho and you've got Antony. They went out, City, and got Riyad Mahrez at £60 million or whatever it was at the time. That was expensive. But he's delivered. So they've all spent money, but City have been able to attract and recruit players that are going to learn, get better. Raheem Sterling was another one. Yeah. You get him in from Liverpool. He was extremely raw at Liverpool. Extremely raw. And he became a much better player up until the end when they let him go to Chelsea. He became a vital part of that City side and England side for a long period. Now, he was always a little bit inconsistent in the final third, but he was a lot better than when he was at Liverpool. Okay, he matured, he got a bit older, but the standards that were set by this coaching staff improved these players. So anybody out there is just saying, oh, it's just about the money. We know they have the money, but it is not just about the money. You don't play teams off the park that this particular City team does just by throwing $1 billion at a bunch of players and saying, there you go, go and play. Doesn't happen like that.
Let's get reaction then from the Manchester United camp. Here's Ten Hag after the game.
Okay. Eric, a dramatic FA Cup final. How did you see the game?
I think we demanded everything from City. But we conceded two really soft goals, and then you're following facts. But the team once again showed spirit, showed resilience, had the passion, we fought back, we got the equaliser. But also in the end, we could also make the equaliser with a good shot from Rashford, Garnacho, and in the end, that twice the header. So I think we did everything we could. I'm proud of my team, I have to say.
How much does City's fast start unsettle United?
I think we were maybe 10 minutes, but after we found the game, and it's really hard when you so quickly concede a goal, but you see once again this mentality, this character in this team is very good.
Do you think you were given a lifeline with the penalty?
Pardon?
Do you think you were given a lifeline with the penalty?
Oh yeah. Of course, but there were, I think, two moments also. One moment before was also a handball. And when it was a handball, there are the rules. And maybe also a soft goal, but it's the same. They got two soft goals.
And with top four and a trophy, how do you view this season?
I think, where we came from, we had a really good season. Where we third place, Champions League qualification, we won a trophy. Today we were really a team was hard to beat against the best team in the world in this moment. So that you have to give them the credit, give them the rewards for it. But I think my team did very well.
Thanks, Eric. Well done, sir. Thank you.
It's strange, isn't it, Shai, you were mentioning that Manchester United side that had so much success under Sir Alex Ferguson. How the bar changes. Mm-hmm. Now it's, we lost the FA Cup final, but we weren't humiliated against Manchester City. That's almost kind of the feeling, isn't it?
Well, keep in mind that Manchester United were humiliated by City or Beta the Etihad earlier this season. They got two late goals that almost made it respectable. And then coming into this, I think that was a concern. That this City team was good enough to humiliate Manchester United, especially with their injuries, especially with their lack of depth. Yet, I thought United gave them a fight. At least had fans sitting on the edge of their seats. Well, it should be for Manchester United teams that we know. For Manchester United, as we believe that club should be. What Manchester United have shown themselves to be over the last couple of years, I think, always liable to get a hiding from this version of Manchester City. But I think it speaks to Erik ten Hag. And again, I love everything about Erik ten Hag, how he's continued to shape this team, that he's made a fight of an FA Cup final that really, on paper, should have been far more one-sided than it actually was. I also like the honesty of his answer. When we sit here and debate about VAR and handball and what handball is and isn't, he stands there and says, yeah, it was kind of soft. But we take it because, all right, he has a, has this caveat of there were other calls that could have gone our way. Fine, I'm okay with that. But he knows that, we got a little bit lucky. Sometimes you get a little bit lucky, even in this day of VAR. And he admits as much. He knows how much work he has still to do with this Manchester United to get them to catch Manchester City. I don't think he's under any illusions about that. I think had they taken a hiding, it could have been, it's so easy, could have been so much worse.
But this sale needs to go through, doesn't it?
Well, something has to happen.
Something has to happen so that they can totally back the manager. It's been a season of moments, You wouldn't have said a side that was absolutely embarrassed and walloped by Brentford in the first few weeks of the season would have knocked Barcelona out of the Europa League and played well against them.
Yep.
The team that absolutely cantered to the La Liga title. Then only to be knocked out by Sevilla, who were a relegation candidate at one point. They've beaten City, they've been walloped by City in the league, it's been a season of moments. There's been a lot of good ones, and that's why they finished third. But there's been a lot of ones that have made them just sit back and say, right, we shouldn't be getting ahead of ourselves here.
Yeah.
These areas need strengthening. And that's why I'm talking about the takeover and the money, and because he knows to compete. You know, with all respect, Garnacho did really well when he came on, but you're throwing youngsters and Wout Weghorst on. Alvarez, Foden,
yeah.
Mahrez if he wants. You know, that's the difference. Even Arsenal, they're going and beefing up the squad with the Jorginhos and Trossard, you know, in January, who came in and did a pretty good job. It's several areas that... Well, put it one way. Whether the sale goes through or not, we're going to find out either Glazers or new owners or whatever, whether this club are real about challenging again. And we're going to find that out in the summer from the position that they're in now. They're either going to be half-hearted about it, or they're going to go and fix their issues this summer, or certainly make a go of it.
And to that point, a change of ownership is not just about renewed investment in the team and money to spend. It's about a change of feeling, of what this club is and who they represent. The counter to all of this is that the Glazers spend a lot of money. There's no denying Manchester United have spent a lot of money. You can't fully fault the Glazers. You can't fault the Glazers for that. But you have Pep Guardiola in his post-game press conference talking about City's ownership. I will look at my own former club. While Mike Ashley did invest in Newcastle United, change of ownership, some spending, not exorbitant spending, and look at how different Newcastle United have looked, have felt, how they performed. Everything about the club has just changed with that new ownership. That's where Manchester United are. We're not here questioning whether the Glazers have put enough money, whether they will put enough money, whether new owners will come and invest more money. It's just about breathing life back into that club, which I think all of football benefits from.
Well, let's get some reaction from that club now. Alexis caught up with Bruno Fernandes after the game.
Bruno, commiserations. I know that's a tough loss to take, of course, being a derby and being in the final. Thoughts on probably what you needed more to get the win?
No, we needed to get score the chances that we had. Well, we didn't have many chances, but we had some good ones. Obviously, City scored two amazing goals from outside of the box. We have to give some credit to them too.
And after your last game in the Premier League, you said that you ranked this probably as a decent season. I mean, a cup final. You also already have silverware. You made it in the Champions League. The fans are excited again. How would you rank it overall? And do you feel like United are on the up?
No, as I said before, it's still the same. This game doesn't change nothing. Obviously, it could be successful in the FA Cup this season, but it wasn't. We did a good season overall. I think we are doing the right steps in the right way. So it's time now to get some rest and understanding that next season we have to come back even stronger, because if we want to achieve bigger things, we have to do better, and I'm sure that we will.
Muito obrigado, Bruno. I hope you get some rest.
Looking at Manchester United, Kieran, obviously celebrating the fact they've qualified for the Champions League, won the Carabao Cup. Very different ambitions to what it was under Sir Alex Ferguson. A little bit like your Arsenal team, like in those latter stages of Wenger's tenure. What's that like to go from having all that success to then celebrating finishing the top four?
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to understand as well, during that time there was a new stadium being built, right? And so that put the club under a lot of financial stress, and Arsene spoke about that recently. And so, you know, his hands were tied a little bit by the ownership. And for a moment, there were a lot of fans were calling for the Kroenkes' heads during that period.
Yeah.
But you know, things change quickly, and you see what you look at them now, and it's like a totally different side. And they've weathered that storm, and they've got the new stadium. Still managed to stay in the Champions League throughout that time, mostly bar, you know, the last 5-6 years.
Yeah.
And they've got now a new foundation to build from. I just feel like with United, I feel like the time has run its course with the Glazers and the fans, you know, and that relationship just isn't there anymore. And so, you know, the fans want it, and the probably the players want it because they don't want this looming over their heads, right, while they're trying to get on with seasons and trying to win things. And so I think that the quicker that it gets done for United, the better.
I think Arsenal's problems were not wholly the same as United's, but and somewhat similar was they did throw a few quid around, but they recruited badly.
Right.
And whatever new manager came in, be it Unai Emery or whoever it was dealing with these guys that came in, and Pepe's one of them, there's been others, you know.
Yeah.
I might say Ozil was bad, but he certainly was a bit of a noose for them with his wages in the end. And they seemed to just keep chasing it, and I think they got to a point and said, we've got to stop doing this. We've got to think about getting some of the deadwood out, you know, like the Aubameyangs who had done well for them, but then Arteta didn't want them around. And they've recruited better in line with bringing the youngsters through as well. When you look at William Saliba, they signed him, loaned him back to France for a bit, got some experience. I think he was Young Player of the Year in France. Comes back in, he's done brilliant. From United, it's pretty much the same. Not all the players they've signed have been bad ones, but a lot of them just have not been good enough. No. I mean, it's like when Ed Woodward was there, the chief executive, it's like he's in denial. Our colleague Mark Ogden sat with a bunch of journalists in a room with them once, and someone suggested that they'd spent the money badly, and he disagreed. He said, well, I wouldn't say that. So what, you've spent it well? That's why it's just the manager's fault that you're not doing well, or is it your recruitment as well? And so I think United have, that's one area they have to sort,
yeah,
is the recruitment. I'm going to keep going back to it. To make my point, they've signed two wide players. I mean, one point during the game today, Xhaka said, where's Sancho?
Yeah.
You know, we know Anthony's not available, but these are not guys that have come in and have cost them 40 million for two players.
No.
We're talking 200 million. So when you can't go and buy Harry Kane or a player of that ilk, when you can't go and strengthen the middle of the park, when you can't go and say to David De Gea, no, you're making too many mistakes now, we're going to bring somebody else in. You have to look at the couple of hundred million spent on wide players. You have to look at the money you've wasted on guys that you're scratching your head thinking, oh, I'm not sure about him. You can't afford to do that. City are not doing it. Arsenal are not doing it now. And those teams are out front and are the better side. So if United don't sort that side of it out, they're just not going to challenge. All they're going to do is waste more money.
Let's take a look at some of the incidents, shall we? Let's go back to what happened in the 90 minutes of the FA Cup final. We'll start off with the handball. Kieran, you are not happy about this.
No, I just think the rules need looking at, Dan. I mean, I'm not sure what Jack Grealish needs to do. He's just trying to do his job and, you know, he's getting punished for it.
I'm not sure what he can do there.
Yeah. No, to your point.
I think it's a penalty in the modern day.
No, I don't. I don't think the rules need looking at all.
It's just not a pen.
It's not a pen, but
it's common sense.
Look at Wan-Bissaka's arm. As he comes down, his arm naturally goes up. When you jump, and as you're coming down, your arm naturally goes up.
Show us.
Here's the video. Wan-Bissaka will show you. Look at Wan-Bissaka's arm when he's coming down. His arm naturally goes up, as does Jack Grealish's.
Yep.
Right here.
But it didn't hit Wan-Bissaka.
That's the arm going up in that way is natural to the action. And being that close to Wan-Bissaka, you can't punish Grealish.
It just needs a bit of common sense.
You can't. So to the point, I don't think
nobody's going to be writing. Nobody ever is going to be able to definitively sort this handball law out.
No.
Nobody.
No. It's always going
to
be grey.
Unless it gets to an area where if it hits your hand, it's a penalty. Yeah. Which is nonsense.
Yeah. For me, this is about just understanding body mechanics, let's call it. Oh. Which I think between the referee and the VAR,
they'll say if your hand's outside the silhouette. That's what they'll say.
I don't agree with it. I just seeing how Wan-Bissaka's arm naturally comes up speaks to how your body naturally moves in that respect. So it's not as though he was trying to make his body bigger. It's not as though he was trying to put his arm in the way of the ball. That happens. That's how you jump. That's natural mechanics. And then Wan-Bissaka, again, if he's 10 yards away from Jack Grealish and he hits his arm in that same exact manner, I'll say, well, hold on, Jack, you should be adjusting a whole lot better than that. But he is, what, 6 inches away? You can't give that. You can't.
I didn't say that at halftime. I think you were
having a kid. Dan didn't ask.
Oh, it's always my fault, isn't it, somehow?
It is.
So the referees need to go on some sort of body mechanics
That's too.
I'd love somebody to be able to.
That too is
well,
your
look,
fault.
We're going to sit and talk about handballs all the time, and people are going to have different opinions. Yes. It's just so subjective.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, but
that's common sense. That one's just common sense.
If Jack Grealish, Jack Grealish is in a very good position, by the way.
Right.
Defensively for an attacking player. If he doesn't do that, he's got a manager on the sideline who has given him earache.
Yeah.
So you're caught between a rock and a hard place here, because, and that's why I used to get frustrated watching defenders with the old arms at the side waddling out to stop a cross. Now, the more I see the game, the more I can understand that.
Yeah.
Everybody is petrified that even if somebody kicks the ball against your arm from a yard away, some dopey ref will go to a monitor and go, penalty. It has to be so frustrating from a defensive aspect of the game.
I think one of the fortunate things is that the game wasn't decided on that handball. It was decided by a shinner. So you can have a sensible conversation around it and maybe what needs to change, what doesn't, who got what right and who got it wrong. Thankfully, because had that been the defining moment around this FA Cup final, had that been what kind of denied Manchester City a treble, I think they'd be held to pay from so many.
At least that Gerrard goal in the 2006 final that you dived over had a little bit of pace. I mean,
where did that come from?
He's still upset about the 94 final that nobody showed it. That's all it is.
I mean, it's dereliction of duty that there was no film from Wembley. From May 1990.
By the way, it was at the start of our show, which was like 10 hours ago.
He's still angry.
We showed Kieran's big miss in the FA Cup final in 2014. Shaka conceding. We've got to move
on. We were just about to show the 94 final.
You were just trying to give that some
context. He could have seen red here, you know, Casemiro.
He could have seen red. He never even saw yellow. Ooh.
Casemiro has this about him. He's got a little bit of naughty about him.
Got a lot of naughty about him.
And a very innocent finish with it. How we get away with that without even a yellow? I know
they rotate refs for the FA Cup. I think they're only allowed to do it once, but I don't think it was. He was the difference in the game, but I'm not a big Paul Tierney fan.
What do you think, Kieran?
I don't know.
It's a recent yellow.
It does look bad in slow motion, but I think when you look at it in real time, he's actually just, I feel like he's just trying to get his leg in the way and then get his body across. That's a tricky one.
That's very kind. I thought that was naughty.
I'm not suggesting he tried it, but the players are coming so fast. You only got to mistime it by a millisecond and it's a broken ankle. It's just part of the game, but certainly a yellow card for sure. Right, go back to explaining about 94. No, I'm only kidding. It's been a long day.
Are we moving on? What's going on now?
Even behind the scenes, they've gone.
The gallery's
gone. Scan the QR code.
There we go. Scan the QR code.
Do you think Stevie can do that?
No, definitely not.
Not a chance.
You imagine Stevie with a QR code.
Somebody's got a meal, Stevie.
He's scanning the bit that says Las Vegas.
One night only at the time.
Right then, Manchester United against Dortmund will be live from Las Vegas. Just scan the QR code for details on how to get tickets.
He's got to go on that trip.
Who's that?
Nickel.
No, I'm going. I can't be babysitting Stevie in Vegas.
I'm not sure Vegas will ever be seen.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Madrid and Eden Hazard have come to an agreement that his contract will be terminated. He had one more year left. It has been a complete and utter failure. His time in Madrid since making that €115 million euro move from Chelsea.
Given us something to talk about, though, isn't it?
What's that?
Not today. Talking about it today, I meant as a generalisation, and every week we were,
it's crazy. Can you think of the Eden Hazard you came up against and how ineffective he has been in Spain?
I mean, Dan, listen, there's one player that
you know, as players in the club, we never used to speak if we was coming up against the team the next day. We never used to, out of pride and ego, we would never speak about another player. But he was one player that everyone would speak about when you were coming up against. I mean, that season that he won the league, it was a virtuoso season from him. Like, he literally single-handedly just took Chelsea and took them to the Premier League title.
And then we thought, obviously, oh, Madrid would be a great fit for him.
I certainly thought so. I'm with Kieran. I thought, at his best, Eden Hazard at Chelsea was the only player in the league who could just dominate a game. He dictated everything about the game, and I wanted to see him do similarly at Real Madrid, kind of give him some of the other players who've left English football and gone to Real Madrid and to play their trades. I thought he was of that ilk. Maybe not Ronaldo ilk, but he was certainly up there with the likes of Gareth Bale, who was also a little bit disappointing in the end, at least. Eden Hazard had a couple of early injuries, which kind of made his start and his the transition a little bit kind of checkered, and never really recovered. But even so, how poor he had been over 4 years. I mean, it's what, 7 goals, 4 years, 9 assists. Again, we are talking about a player who completely bossed the Premier League. There's no other way to put it, and. To say he looked decidedly average is doing what we saw from him a little bit of an injustice, in all honesty. He was that bad.
It's got to go down as one of the worst transfers ever.
Yeah, and it's down, and for me, it's down to the player. And Shaq mentioned the injuries, but the injuries, to some extent, some of them come from the lack of application. They're coming back in pre-season overweight and basically saying, I just did a jolly up in the summer. That's what we did in 94, 95, 96. Don't do that in this day and age.
Yeah.
You just don't. That's not the modern player. This is about application. Yeah, and somebody might roll out, I was a bit unlucky with this and unlucky with that. Yeah. But not for 4 years. Not unlucky for 4 years. Very unlikely. It just seemed to me that he got over there, bit overweight at times, not fit, not producing his same form, getting a bit of pressure on him, picks up some injuries, and he's basically... You look at those numbers and that's saying mailed it in. Mailed it in. You don't go from being the player that Kieran played against and we watched. You don't go from that guy, even with a few... I mean, we're not talking about somebody who said two ACLs or a broken leg here.
Yeah.
Right? You don't go from having these niggling injuries to being utterly ineffective unless you're basically saying, you know what, I've done this at Chelsea, I've made my move, I've got my money now. I just basically don't have the desire. And he was posting videos about, here's me at the gym, this is the hardest I've been training, and I can go and do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not. It's a lack of application, and Real Madrid have had themselves burnt by this one financially.
We've seen you post videos of you in the gym.
I tell you what, it's not me.
You should see him in the gym. He's so angry. He just puts a towel over the clock and just stares at the towel.
He's about to have a fight with a towel.
And tell Kieran what I listen to.
Nothing. Just is in his own head.
I mean, well, that's the zone that Hazard had to get into. And then I see you plums all walking in. Does it affect me? No, I soldier on.
Love that, Bernie.
It's not a nice sight. Although it's been a while since.
Well, I tell you what, that's the difference. If Hazard had put a towel over the that machine,
over the clock, then that'd have been it.
Quite half an hour,
We hear stories, Kieran, of him of not being a great trainer anyway, even in his prime. Is it a case of age catching up with you when you try and get away with it?
I don't know, because we've seen so many players like that. I mean, Jack Grealish come out and said it. You know, he said that he's not one of the most professional guys at times, and he likes to go out and have a drink. And but, you know, he's performed this season. So I don't know if you can put it down to that, but I don't know if he's come out and said anything in an interview as to, you know, why things haven't worked out. But to be honest, I just miss him because he was just so good to watch. So I think fans of the Hazard that we know just want to see him perform because he's an entertainer. That was who he was, and I think that's the hardest thing to swallow with this move to Madrid.
Get him to Miami with you.
I mean, if anyone's got his number.
Oh, That's where they go, isn't it? Do they not go there to pasture?
That don't seem to be a dig. Do you think he'll retire now, Sean?
No, he's a fit lad. He's fit. He's still fit.
He's ready to go. I guess somebody takes a chance on him. I'm not sure who. And the fact that he...
Oh, Wayne, don't talk stupid.
Somebody takes a chance.
I tell you, the only person that took a chance on him, and this boggles the mind, you know what I'm going to say, don't you?
Yeah.
Was Roberto Martinez. 5 months ago, he's played for Belgium and captained them in the World Cup. What that one out, Shaq?
I'm
who's taking Eden Hazard off the back of that?
Nobody substantial. No big club. But somebody takes a chance, and maybe on a pay-to-play basis, just to see if they can get the best out of him. I'm just saying.
Best out of him. Into Miami.
There we go.
Kieran, I'm sure.
Someone's going to gamble, though.
Someone's going to take a gamble.
Of course.
Why?
Because it's Eden Hazard.
Yeah, but it's not. There's two very different Eden Hazards. We'll be discussing this a lot more, of course.
I doubt it.
Good grief. We're struggling.
On the next edition of the show. Be sure to join us.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Let's take a look then. There are six teams vying to miss out on that one relegation spot remaining. What a final day it's going to be in Spain. And we'll have it covered, of course, on ESPN. Plus, the earlier games have no relevance to the relegation. However, the big, big games then at 3 o'clock, they're all being played at the same time. Five games to work out who will be going down to the Segunda. That is it then.
Mm-hmm.
Properly this time. Well, not really.
I just saw our boss waddling into the studio just before the end of that show and I thought, oh, we could be trouble ahead here.
I'm not associating myself with that word. That's it then.
Well, he's got his backpack on, he's not watching now. He won't watch it back.
Extra time is next.
Yeah. Have a wee.
Nope, you can't. We're live still, Kieran. Oh, magnificent.
2 hours.
Hopefully we've picked it up.
Oh, we definitely picked it up.
No. Jack, is that you over there?
Oh, brilliant.
You've been sitting there for, I didn't know it was I heard the voice.
This table is massive.
That was a classic.
He said to me during like one of the interviews, like, can I go? And I'm like, no, you can't. How are you, Kieran? Good?
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Good.
Yeah.
Nice. Tell you what, that is definitely a sign of old age.
Oh, really?
He can't.
No, but he had all those snacks and drinks, didn't he? Schoolboy era.
Had a couple of beers last night.
He shouldn't tell any of us anything.
It's
coming back
up. He stays forever, man.
It's coming back up on air.
It's
old Johnny Two Beers, eh? What would he be like if he was trying to keep up with me and McManaman at West Hartford?
Yeah, who would do that? It would be silly enough to do that. Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. Oh, it's been obviously FA Cup is an early kickoff today. I was met you at 7 a.m. at your hotel to drive you in.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
It's been there all day.
Should have gone to the bathroom.
Hold on.
What's wrong? I'm just explaining. It's been a long day. Like, when's the last time we've been at work at 7 a.m.?
Well, you weren't at work. You picked him up at 7.
Oh, I was here at 7:30.
Well, I was here at 7:40.
Right.
It was an early kickoff. You do realise there's a time difference between the United Kingdom and here, thus being the early start.
Is this Manchester City team better than United's treble team?
Oh, we've got all summer to talk about that.
Right, yes, Kieran?
For me, it is, yeah.
Right.
For me, no.
No, right.
Well, you see, if they win this treble, right, we're going to sit in this show, ditch Messi and Ronaldo, because that's boring now.
Yes.
We're going to talk about this treble, who is the best.
Yes.
The game's changed.
Right.
What United had to endure and the way they played was different to what the City team have to endure. I mean, it's just, it's no point, and I know we will.
It's apples and oranges.
7 days a week.
Yes.
24/7. Yes. Be honest, we're going to compare. It's very, very difficult.
We'll get you on, Kieran, don't worry.
To compare.
I'm joining.
From the bathroom.
Craig.
Can I go?
Craig's tired.
Please, sir.
But listen, I also am having none. Sorry, let's not go.
Craig, you're one of the very few who really appreciates the task of Stones moving and playing in midfield. Thank you. Shaka, you always try to find anything to discount City's success. No, thank you. Wow.
What did I find to discount?
I don't know. I don't know, Shane. In the past, you must have said something mean about
me.
You're the most inoffensive man on the planet. Sometimes.
I don't know.
I don't know what I've done to upset City fans.
Hold on. Is this somebody who's happy with me?
Yes. They appreciate you.
No, I'm not having that.
No, you don't like that.
Something's wrong with that person.
I know.
Something's clearly missing. That screw's loose somewhere.
They spelt Craig wrong.
That was it.
Yeah.
Kieran, should United begin focusing on Garnacho over Sancho? One clearly has more fight in him.
Thank God.
Are you holding that in? Is that a tactic?
Listen, Garnacho this season has been really impressive. He's had a bigger impact over the course of the season. But whether they should focus on him more, I think they should focus on Sancho more, because Garnacho's doing his job pretty well.
Right.
So I think they're both invaluable assets to United, and I think Sancho's going to come back and have a big season next season. Yeah.
There you go. Hey, John, Dan, there you go. Just in case. In case you can't hang on to the end.
Will Manchester City's performance today improve or hinder Inter's confidence going into Istanbul, Shaq?
I don't think City were great. I don't think it's the best performance we've seen from my City hate yet again.
Yes.
I don't think they were great, but at the same time, I don't think that changes Inter at all. Inter know how good they can be, and that's their only focus, how good they can be. You don't worry about what they may look like on and off.
What's happened?
Have you actually got a high chair?
What do you mean?
Well, Dan's high chair, look at the name.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know at home, do the kid, I'm serious, do you sit in one of those seats with a little thing in the middle? And it has a tray. No. I think you do.
No, I don't. Like at the restaurants, you got to go.
When you go to the barbers, do they have to bring an extra little cushion
on
there?
Yeah, cushion on.
They've always got a few of those stacked at the restaurants, have they?
Yes.
And when, say it's your wife shouts them over, they come over and say it for like... For him?
5'9" I am, Kieran.
And you're wearing shorts in that restaurant.
I'm
which
flip-flops.
Is really making LeBouf angrier and angrier.
I wore shorts yesterday, actually, in a restaurant.
You what?
I wore shorts yesterday to a restaurant.
Well, it was 90 degrees.
Yeah, exactly, it was boiling.
But it's silly wearing pants.
Very much so. Where are we?
Lost.
For Craig and Shaka, we talked about this during the show. For Craig and Shaka, what do players usually do with their FA Cup runners-up medals? Did you keep yours or just throw them in the garbage when you got home?
I didn't throw it in the garbage.
Didn't throw it in the garbage.
But I don't know what I did with it.
I don't know where
it is. All I know is it's not in the garbage.
Right, it's not in the garbage. Have you got like a box of trinkets that maybe it's in?
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah? Where is the box?
In the garbage.
I don't know where anything is.
No.
Literally.
Right.
Just don't. I mean, I've got a few things. Some things were stolen.
Yes.
I told you that.
Yeah.
My World Cup jersey was stolen from the opening game against Brazil with all the paraphernalia in it, signed by all the squad. Bosch, out of the frame. No monetary value, but sentimental value. So.
Where is all your stuff, Kieran?
Back in London.
All right, OK. What's it doing there?
I didn't want to bring it over.
All right.
Sorry, why did we...
It's nice and safe in London.
What, not safe here?
No.
Kieran, pass me that a couple of...
If you were the manager of Inter, how would you...
I've got ESPN on it just in case I'm playing the corporate card.
If you were the manager of Inter, how would you best attack this City team in the Champions League final? Kieran, what would you do? How would you stop them?
Manager of Inter, how would you attack this City team in the final? For me, I would... The best performance that I've seen against City this season will probably be something how Newcastle performed against Arsenal.
Right.
That's what they need to do. But how they do it, I mean, I have no idea. I have no idea with this City team.
Oh.
No. I'm lost for answers on how to defend this insane team.
How did the team selection in Zaggy's will be interesting, because the three midfielders that played in the semi-final, Barella, your mate, Çalhanoğlu, and Mkhitaryan, they're all attacking players. And Brozovic has been out of the team lately. He's clearly a defensive midfielder. But if you don't have any defensive, and we saw it today, particularly early on, if you're leaving big gaps because you're not necessarily a defensive midfielder, and none of them, to my knowledge, are, who's going to do the donkey work in there?
Yeah.
So I'm intrigued to see.
I'd probably go five at the back. I'd probably start with five at the back.
Right.
For at least the first half.
Well, Inter will play a three, and with the two wing backs, effectively will be a five when they push them back. I mean, City are going to dominate the game again. There's no doubt about that. But whether Dzeko and Martinez, they can get some service up to them and cause a few more problems than United did today. I mean, we really didn't see that ball over the top for Rashford today, did we?
No.
Once or twice it kind of almost got in, but we didn't. City never allowed the space. When City lost the ball today, they quickly dropped their back three so that that ball couldn't be played over the top. No, at no point did they squeeze the game. I remember City last year at times pushing, squeezing so far up. I'm thinking about the Tottenham game at the Etihad.
Yeah.
With Harry Kane dropping and then hooking balls around the corner for Son. Because City were so high up the field. They're not playing as high up as they were last year, so they're not getting caught as much.
We've got all week, of course, to talk about this.
We've got all summer.
The whole summer, is it?
You told me all summer about the Mason Mount.
Yeah, so that's the summer transfer window. We've got the whole summer to talk about the Champions League final, because that's going to
be happened then at all summer.
All summer. We'll go
before you
it.
Go to Vegas with Stevie.
No. Craig.
And his plastic bag.
Craig, any thoughts on Guardiola wearing a hoodie to the FA Cup final?
Well, I thought about wearing one today in here. and I had a last-minute change of heart as I came in.
Right. Oh, that'd be nice. Where was the song?
I have lots of hoodies.
Were you part of any songs, Kieran?
Any songs?
FA Cup final songs.
Did you make one?
They used to have singles, didn't you?
Yeah, we did before. It with Suggs from Madness.
Did you do
Madness.
Blue? What was it? What was the song?
Blue Day.
Blue Day? We're gonna make it a Blue Day.
We're gonna make it a Blue Day. Yeah,
there you go. Did you do any, was it, that past?
Yeah, no, that passed. The only songs I remember on FA Cup was during the parade with Jack Wilshere screaming about Tottenham.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Inappropriate things, I imagine.
Yeah, inappropriate. Not for TV.
Shaq, did West Ham have a song?
No, we don't. I don't know, have you know, I'm quite the vocalist myself.
I know, Shaq, I've heard you singing.
Yes.
Yeah, very nice.
The world was denied.
Do you have any thoughts on Guardiola's hoodie?
It was a very nice hoodie. We'll miss it.
That's it.
Bit hot, though.
No problem with that. It's fine, isn't it?
Bit hot.
Bit hot for a hoodie.
You were hot yesterday.
Yeah.
All around West Half in a tracksuit.
Oh, you were hanging about together yesterday?
No, he was telling me it was hot yesterday. No, I wasn't.
The last time I came.
That's not allowed out. That's not allowed out.
This is not Miami, you know.
Final.
Just got seasons here. Seasons. That's why we love Connecticut.
Final question. Shaka, would you have stopped the second goal from Gundogan?
Huh?
Would you have stopped the second goal?
What, now?
Not now, obviously.
Oh, you haven't seen me run my 5K yet, Dad.
You're saying that's cancelled, though, the 5K?
Well, 5K isn't cancelled, but I've got to come to work.
What time is the race?
What time I have to come to work?
What time's the race? That's not the question. What time's the race, Jack?
2:00.
No, it's not.
Have you been there? Have you been training for it?
Huh? I've been.
Have you lost a bit of timber?
I've been focused. Because
you were piling it on a bit. I mean, I thought it was just...
It's a kettle.
I've been focused on the 5K.
I thought you were just piling it on for the winter, like a seal. You know, to overcome the cold, and then you're going to shake it again. Mm. Shake it off.
Shaka?
Yeah?
You could have stopped it.
I think a goalkeeper at that level should have.
Are you at that level?
Not anymore, Dan.
Were you at that level?
That's not for me to say, Dan.
How long?
5K is not long. I mean, you're making this big deal of it. But Nicol walks his dogs that far. Didn't he? He walks his dogs that far.
He pretends that he does.
And then he shows me an app, and said the app said that he doesn't. And then he said it's the app's fault.
How long should we drag this out until Kieran misses his
flight? Just give Kieran your bottle.
Well, I'm worried about your flight this time.
That'll be rather embarrassing walking around the airport concourse, wouldn't it? Wouldn't want to be sitting next to you in the flight.
That is it then, we are done. Thank you very much, everyone.
Go on, Kieran,
you can go now. It's fine. ESPN FC will be back tomorrow. La Liga relegation, very much their headline.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.